If you have a Bible with you today, if you would turn with us to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. I want to pick up preaching this morning where we had left off last week from one of the greatest Bible characters that is so unique. God brought him within the ranks of Moses, called Elijah. On Mount Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were there gathered, the Lord was transfigured before them, turned inside out. The Bible said that His garment was whiter than fuller's soap could whiten them. And there appeared unto them talking Moses and Elijah. Elijah appears on the pages of our Bible in 1 Kings 17 for the first mention. He walks up to Ahab and Jezebel. The nation of Israel had been taught to serve our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There Ahab had married Jezebel. She worshipped a god of Baal. Ahab had formed temples in the land and had promoted this Baal worship. And God was upset. And let me tell you, God is always upset of any God that's before Him, for He is a jealous God. And a lot of times, God is used a preacher to address the situation. So we find Him now in Kings 17, Verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, He needed a word. I wonder, have you ever realized that we live in a generation and in a day when we need a word from the Lord? I'm glad God is faithful on giving us a word. That's why it's so important that we gather together in His house to hear His word. It's why it's so important to have daily devotions that He may speak unto us by His word. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He said, verse 3, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Now watch, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good grace of God. Thank you of how good that you've been to us. And I pray now, Lord, that you would do big things in our heart this morning. Thank you for the stirring of the Spirit of God in our service. Thank you for a place where the altar is still open that people can come and pour our hearts out to thee. Touch us and help us this morning. Oh God, I'm a needy preacher. I'm weak in body, and I pray that you'd help me now. And I'll be careful to honor you and praise you and give you the right of way. In Jesus' name I ask you and I pray today. Amen. And amen. I preached last week on 1 Kings 17 of the rations from the raven. But this morning, I want to pick up in 1 Kings 17 and preach out of this thought of the bottom of the barrel. The bottom of the barrel. Now, there was a few things highlighted in me yesterday as I began to look into this passage and some things that I'd never seen. The Bible is amazing to me how that it's living. Amen. It's lightning. It'll do something for you if you'll get into it. So I want to preach on this barrel a few minutes this morning. And isn't it amazing now that God has sent Elijah to a drying brook? And I want to give you a little background because I won't preach long today. But Ahab and Jezebel were in the White House, so to speak. They were ruling the land. They were calling the shots. God had spoke to Elijah and said, you go tell them that I'm going to turn their water off. Well, they didn't get mad at God. They got mad at God's man. Because God's man simply told them what the Lord had told him to say. Now, I want to clarify something today. Don't get upset with a preacher if he's preaching from the Bible. He didn't write your Bible. He's just reading out of your Bible. And so, therefore, Ahab and Jezebel got a word from Elijah. Now, Elijah is a hunted man. Elijah is a haunted man. They're on his trail. He's simply on Ahab's most wanted list. And God sent him a word, and he said, now Elijah, I want you to go down to a brook. And he said, there I've commanded the ravens to feed thee, morning and evening. And do you remember last week I preached on the thought where God had taught him how to live and where to lean, but mostly how to look. Every morning when them ravens flew in, there was Elijah looking up. In the evening, he was looking up. It ought to remind us of where our bread's buttered this morning. It ought to remind us of how good and how faithful our God is. Every day of our life, we ought to look up toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And so now the brook is drying up. Isn't it amazing that God sent him to a place? Everything was great as Elijah laid down at night. He would hear the waterways run by. He would hear the birds singing in the morning. It was a great place to be there with God. But it began to dry up. I seen something in the Bible. Elijah stayed put. He didn't overreact. He waited upon God. Can I tell you, when things are drying up around you, wait on God. God will have a word for you. Don't go in the energy of yourself. Wait till God tells you what to do. Living by faith, it's just like turning the lights on a car. You can only go as far as the lights are shining. If you go any further, you'll run in the ditch and it'll cause you great hurt. But wait upon the Lord. He knows where you are this morning. So the brook starts drying. And so all of a sudden the Bible changes now in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, and now I want you to get to Zarephath. Now, there's an issue with this word, Zarephath. This is simply 100 miles from Elijah is living at the brook Cherith. There's another issue, not only about distance, but one about danger. You know, a lot of times we think that when God tells us to do something, that it's too far to drive or it's too far to go. But honey, let me tell you, the good restaurants ain't too far to go or too far to drive. I want to say, get where God wants you. It ain't too far to drive. If God tells you to get there, get down there. He'll ride in the car with you. He'll help you in the gas mileage. If God's in it, God will make a way for it. You see, the problem persisted in distance. And the problem also persisted itself in a danger. Jezebel's daddy lived there. And God sent him right down into that enemy territory. You know, I've often noticed in minding God that everybody's not going to go along with it. And it seems like that it's in the most bizarre circumstances of where God will send us. But yet, Elijah trusted him, and the Bible said that he went down to Zarephath. Now, watch what happens in the Bible. Now, you think a minute, he's went 100 miles. The brook has dried up on him. God told him to go down to Zarephath. So, the Bible says simply this in verse 10. So, he arose and he went to Zarephath. Well, God had set something in motion. Look, if you would, in verse 9 and underline this verse. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. I cannot overemphasize that word there in your life. You've got to be there. You've got to be where God wants you at. It's so important to be where God is stirring at. Where God is preparing at. Get there in your life. Get in your altar of prayer. Get in there in your Bible. Get there in your local church. Get there in your house. Honey, just get there and God will bless you there. Now, if he went any other place, he missed it. But there. Do you think it's just haphazardly that you stumbled into Liberty Baptist Church? Well, that's a good place to go. It's a pretty sanctuary. They have good singing. The preacher's a little wild, but I can handle that every now and then. But do you really think it's accident that God has placed you there? God knows what we need. And God has some things set in order there. There's a sovereign God running things. There are no accidents in a child of God's life. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. That's all things. And that's things that is hard to bear at times. But this is the thing about it. What Elijah probably understood, God told him, he said, I've done set in motion things over there at the brook, and when you got there, you found out I was a God, could be trusted. But now he's left him there, and he's having to go a long way off, and when he gets down to Cherith, he's taking God simply at his word. But there's an issue that arises. Not only distant and danger, but I want to think maybe a little doubt was there. When he got there, Brother Driver, it was something unexpectedly. The Bible said, at the gate of the city, there was a widow woman there that met him at the gate, and she was looking for sticks. Matter of fact, she was looking for sticks to fuel a fire to make her and her boy their last meal. And so we find her here at the gate gathering, and it looked probably so bizarre to Elijah. Now, he didn't know her name, and she didn't know him. But isn't it amazing when he got there, he brought this widow woman right into his path, didn't know her name, and he said something to her. And she responded. Can I tell you, God has got things set in our path that only there will bring. What if he went someplace else? He wouldn't have met the widow woman that God had come into the gate of the city. Matter of fact, I'm glad God does big things around the gate of the city. And so there we see this thing of doubt. No doubt when he looked at her and he spoke to her, look what she says. And this is where I want to preach out of this morning. I've never preached this passage this way. I want you to look at what she says. He arose and went to Zarephath, and he went there. The widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And look what she said. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil and a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Here it is, that we may eat it and die. Oh, she was so discouraged. Can you imagine when Elijah heard this? I wonder in one second in the doubt in him that raised up and said, Lord, are you sure? Lord, are you sure you're going to sustain me by a woman that ain't got nothing and she's about ready to die? This woman is so discouraged. She is so depressed. Lord, I'm beginning to doubt a little bit. But all of a sudden, the Bible turns. He said, go get me a drink of water. And when she started off, he said, and bring me a cake of bread, just a morsel of bread. And then she responded, there's nothing in the barrel. And did you notice when she talked about that barrel, right after that, simply in verse number 12, she said, there's just a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil, a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks and I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, I've got a few thoughts about this barrel. First of all, look at the facts of a barrel. In verse 12, you'll notice simply that it was there. She was there. Elijah was there. And God was there. And this facts of this barrel. But now, look if you would in verse 12 at the focus of the barrel. The barrel to her looked so depleted. It was so discouraging. It was so depressing. And she was so desperate in the situation. Even though that she minded the Word of God, she minded the man of God. She said this, well, I'm going to do that, but it ain't nothing left in the barrel because we fixing to die around here. It brings me this thought. Not only the facts of this barrel, the focus of this barrel, but look at the frets of this barrel. You see, the barrel got her discouraged. She had went back day after day and she had seen this barrel start depleting. She had looked in this barrel. She had focused upon it and now she's fretting about it. Can I tell you, as your preacher this morning, quit focusing on the barrel. Quit looking inside at what you ain't got and realize there's a God above the barrel. Don't be looking inside and getting discouraged. Honey, I go to that computer screen, bbt.net, and I look in the barrel. I say, it's getting low. Hey, it ain't adding up. But I come to tell you, above that barrel, above that screen, above that checkbook, there's a God that'll run His hand and bring you what you need this morning. Boy, that barrel gets us so discouraged. The offering goes by and I get a text every Sunday. Oh, it looks so discouraging sometimes. I don't know about y'all's checking account, but mine ain't too encouraging. It gets real discouraging. And I think that's the problem in the Christian life. We're so focused on the barrel. She was focused on the barrel. Now she's fretting from the barrel. She's came, and the man of God's asked her to do something. And she said, well, you know what? I'm going to do it, but we're going to die because there ain't nothing left in this barrel. Listen, don't get so focused on the barrel that you go fretting about the barrel. Because that thing was draining. I mean, it had done brought so much discouragement to her. You know why? Because she is focused on the barrel. Focused on the barrel. You know, when people are simply focused on the barrel, it'll be so discouraging because the barrel fills and empties. I've seen times when my barrel was full, I'll be honest with you. And I've seen times when I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. And see, this is the thing about it. If I keep looking at that barrel, and if all of my hope and my faith is in that barrel, I've missed it. If all your hope and faith is in your checkbook, if it's in your job, if you're just looking at what's in your barrel, honey, let me tell you, the enemy can get everything in the barrel. Quit focusing on the barrel. Go to looking at the one above the barrel and realize our God is faithful. It may look low this morning, but God has never let His children depart. I'm glad our God is faithful this morning. That barrel so discouraged her. A lot of y'all fight over the barrel. I guarantee you, that's a third of the trouble in our marriages here is the barrel. Fretting over the barrel. It ain't nothing in there. Man, and I know you've got to have practicality. Let me tell y'all, let me give y'all some basic country pastoring this morning. If you bring home two, and he brings home three, that's five. But if your bills is 25, then let me tell you, that math don't add. But let me tell you this morning, when you put things in perspective, you give what God is His, you do all you know to do, God will supply. Just don't let your britches get too big for your billfold. Somebody say amen. But honey, quit focusing on the barrel. Everything, everybody's fighting and fussing and fretting and getting so discouraged over the barrel. I wish I had me a big barrel here this morning, Brother Mike. I'd take the lid off of it and I'd run if I was a young man, I'd dive in it and pull the lid down on me. And that's the way we all do a lot of times. The barrel's got us. Do you hear me this morning? The barrel, don't let the barrel get you. You say, preacher, what you talking about? She looked in that barrel, and she's scraping the bottom of it, and she said, we fixing to die. But God had something else in mind. And I want you to take this spiritual application in your life, and I want you to notice this. Now, this fact of the barrel, this focus of the barrel, and this fret of the barrel, this barrel, there was a bottom in it. She found it. There was blame in it. Seemed like she's sort of blaming everything because nothing was left in the barrel. The barrel had her whole focus. And let me tell you something. I know the Bible tells us that we are to work and pay our bills. Let our yea be yea and our nay, nay. But honey, our total life should not be focused on the barrel. It'll discourage you. And so, this is what God taught her. You've been trusting in a barrel. Won't you go to trusting in God? And you see, this morning, this is an amazing thing. Now, watch this. Look at this spiritual application. If Brother Boatner was preaching, this is what he'd say. Brother Jake, she had the barrel blues. Amen. Boy, won't it bring blues to you. You know, families, there's nothing no more troubling than bills mounting and the barrel's empty. But don't let the barrel consume you. Don't let the barrel consume you. Now, watch as this story unfolds. I'm done preaching. This is an amazing concept. If you'll get it, it'll help your life this morning. The Bible said, she arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. If she's going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord the God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me, my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, underline this in your Bible, fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail to the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. The facts of the barrel, the focus of the barrel, the fret of the barrel. But look at the faith away from the barrel. Her faith had been in this barrel. See, her total hope, help, and happiness was all consumed in this barrel. It had got low and it brought such discouragement to her, she was going to die. That's why a lot of people, when they get so low on money, they kill themselves. But let me tell you something. You ain't got to kill yourself. All you got to do is don't fret yourself and look up, because God is faithful. Now look what happens. Isn't it amazing? I'm fixing to help y'all Baptists right here now. I'm fixing to really help y'all with this statement. Isn't it amazing God asked her to do something that it didn't look like she had it to do with? A lot of y'all, you look in your barrel and say, well, this is what we can give this Sunday. That's why it ain't working for you. You see, if you'll give God what's His right off the top, God will take care of the barrel. If I could try to help any young family, you know what I would do and purpose that's worked at my house? Give God what's His and He'll bless you for it. Now, I want you to look what she done in this barrel. Now, I said this for a reason because I want you to see it. You'll notice in verse number 10, Brother Adam, she's gathering sticks. But now when she gets down to where the rubber meets the road, look in verse 12. She says, I've got meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering two sticks. Preacher, what's the spiritual application of that? Well, will you agree with me with this morning? When she was gathering those sticks at the gate, she was gathering fuel. She needed something for fuel. And so now the Bible turns and she says, this is what I've got. It'll do you good to take an inventory. You want to see the inventory of what every child of God's got? Number one, you got a handful of meal. Now, can I tell you, God is a handful. Christ is the bread of life. He's the all-sufficient one. He is the meal that you'll never, ever totally run dry. Then, oil in a vessel. So we've got Christ, we've got the Holy Ghost, and now she's gathering two sticks, and the Bible said that I may go in. You know what would help us all this morning on our spiritual journey? To realize we have meal a little bit, but it is Christ and He is sufficient. When you've got Christ, you've got the Holy Ghost, and you grab them two sticks and you realize what Calvary's done for your life, it'll bring fuel in your life and it'll get you out of depression this morning. When you realize what Calvary's done for you, and it'll bring you in places that you've never been. I'm glad I've been saved by the grace of God, and I sure am glad that the cross still works in this day and in this hour. Now, I want to say this today. Miss Sherry, I want you to come, if you would, sister. You've been so gracious. There's the facts of the barrel. There was the focus of her barrel. There was the fret in her barrel. There was faith from her barrel. She took God at His word and said, okay, I'm going to do this. But there was the fascination of her barrel. And her own survival involved her giving. Renee, let me ask you something, honey. We've been married nearly going on 40 years. God's brought us through some tight places. God has proved Himself so faithful. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it in this ministry. You asked the bookkeeper this morning. I believe that her giving, as our giving, her own survival was involved in her giving. God asked her to give something, and all she could see was the bottom of the barrel. You know what God's teaching her? Quit trusting in the barrel and go to looking above the barrel. Take God at His word and apply the fundamentals of Christian living, and you will realize you'll quit fretting over that barrel. Go to looking above that barrel where you bless God. Could you imagine after she had made Elijah that cake, fed herself and her boy? And the Bible said this happened many days. Some writers said 2 years. Some writers said a year. But I want to ask you something. I wonder how long you've been living off what God showed you to do and you minded Him. A lot of you struggling and not getting by. You ever tried God? You ever trusted God? You ever took Him at His word? And God, you know, God asked you to do some hard things sometimes. He'll ask you to go some hard places. But I want to say this. This is one of His little old preacher boys this morning. God's faithful. And you can always take God at what He said. And I praise Him this morning. May we quit fretting over our barrel. May we quit arguing over our barrel in our homes. And give God the barrel. Just give God the barrel. Say, God, look, You're over this thing. The first song started out in the service that way this morning in choir practice. Just give it all to God. Let Him run things. Quit being so occupied with the barrel. Get occupied with the One that fills the barrel. And He'll bless you for it. Miss Sherry, play this morning. I'd ask you, if you got a need in your life, would you come today? Maybe your barrel's just about empty on faith. Your barrel may be empty on things, but let me tell you something. Her own survival involved her giving. God has asked me to do some hard things in my life. When I look at the situation, it just didn't add up. But I know what He said. And I could trust what He said.